Our last storyteller before intermission is Joe Meehan. Joe is a retired park ranger and wildlife biologist, having developed a love for outdoor adventures and wild places while growing up in New York State. He came to Alaska to work with brown bears for one summer, and that turned into 40 years. Having settled in Anchorage, he is now spending most of his retirement traveling the world and enjoying wild places, although he is taking a short hiatus to work on natural resource issues for the ledge here in Juneau during the session. Welcome, Joe.
So I walked down the beach in Valdez with the last armload of gear, dropped it next to our sea kayaks. My buddy Bill looks up and says, "Are you sure we're going to have good weather on this trip?" And I look up to see dark gray clouds obscuring all the peaks and the ridges and making their way down to the water. All I could do is shrug and say, "Well, at least it's not blowing." And anyway, we jump into our kayaks, my buddy Bill in a single boat, myself, my wife, and my four-year-old son piled into a double kayak, and off we paddled. Sure enough, the rain started as a drizzle, then a heavier rain, then a torrential downpour. Well, the kid's no dummy. He burrows down into the cockpit of the kayak where it's nice and dry, and in there playing with his matchboxes and reading books, and eventually falls asleep during the several-hour paddle out to Chute Bay, pouring the whole time. And we land on the beach outside Chute Bay and set up camp in the rain, make dinner in the rain, set up the tents in the rain, go to sleep in the rain. But sure enough, the next morning we wake up and the forecast came true. We had nothing but blue sky and sunshine. So we quickly packed up camp, paddled into the inner bay of Chute Bay. Spent most of the day paddling around the bay, checking all the small inlets and the islands, watching the seabirds on the cliffs flying around in the hundreds, perhaps thousands, paddling around all the icebergs floating around in Chute Bay, because at the head of Chute Bay is a tidewater glacier, which we eventually made our way up to and watched the glacier calving a few times, of course, from a safe distance. And then later in the afternoon, we decide it's time to go find a beach to set up camp. So about a third of a mile or so away from the face of the glacier, we land on the beach, unload the boats and drag everything up, about 50 feet away from the water's edge, because we knew the glacier was going to calve and send out what I call splash waves. The waves just move across the bay, and just like a surf wave, hit the beach, roll, dump, and spread out. And we don't want our gear to get wet, so we haul it up about 50 feet. And then we go off and do what you do with four-year-old boys. See how many rocks you can find and throw into the river. So after a couple hours of that, we make our way back down to the boats and the gear, and it's getting to be about dinner time now. So Bill and Laura decide they want to start cooking dinner down there by the water, and I start moving the gear around to haul it up to a little plateau where we decide we're going to set up camp. But little Willem's getting a little bit hungry, so I dive into the food bag, and I pull out a baggie of goldfish. And if you know four-year-old kids, a baggie of goldfish is a lifesaver. And today that actually may have come true. So while Bill and Laura are fixing dinner, getting the stove out and everything, I'm hauling gear back up onto this little plateau and dropping gear. I probably made about three or four runs. Little Willem was trying to follow me up. He'd make it maybe halfway by the time I got to the site, and I'd come back and pass him, and he'd try to follow me back down, climbing over all the rocks and the boulders. And about the fourth run that I made to drop gear, the glacier starts to calve. So I turned to watch it, and it was a pretty spectacular calving event. And I thought, oh man, I left the camera down there at the boat. I wish I had brought that up here with me. I could have gotten a good picture. Well, the glacier kept calving and kept calving and kept calving. This face is a half a mile from one side to the other, and it just like loaves, like slices of loaf bread, just kept peeling off the front of this glacier on and on and on. It was pretty darn spectacular. You know, the chunks of ice coming off of this thing and the sounds and house-sized icebergs falling into the water and then in turn rolling and breaking and crashing. It was a pretty spectacular event. But I knew the 50 feet we moved our gear, probably not going to be far enough to keep it from getting wet. Of course, I wasn't really worried about anybody's safety at this point. I'm just worried about the gear getting wet. And it was this event was really spectacular. With all that rainwater the day before, all that meltwater that day, it just lubed up that glacier. So it was just sliding on down into Chute Bay. And it was throwing a spray up into the air 200 feet. There was a double rainbow in the mist. Seabirds were diving into this upchurning mass of krill and whatever else they were pulling out of the water. It was darn spectacular. But I knew we needed to deal with the gear. So as soon as it started happening, I bolted as fast as I could down off the slope, screaming to Bill and Laura, get the gear, but they couldn't hear me. It was just too deafening with the sounds going. Run on down there, start grabbing the gear, throw it into the boats. Bill and Laura realize what I'm doing. They come over and start helping me. And we're just throwing all the loose gear back into the boats with the idea we're just going to drag them up when this wave comes. And as I'm throwing this gear in the boat, I'm watching the water, waiting for this wave to come. And I'm waiting, throwing gear in, and this wave never came. Something else did. I knew we were in trouble when I saw the water line recede back into the bay 50 feet. I said to Bill, grab the boats. So we reached down, grabbed the handles of the boats, but we couldn't even get them up before we were hit by a head-high wall of water. This was no splash wave. This was a tsunami displaced from that calving, surging glacier. Head-high wall of water just bowled over the top of us. Now we're being dragged inland, head over heels, tumbled, slammed into rocks, gear going everywhere. At one point, I came up to the surface, got hit in the head with one of the boats, and now we're in survival mode. Your world kind of narrows down, and just trying to stay on the surface of this water and get a breath before getting sucked back down and slammed into the rocks in the bottom. At one point, I came up, and I heard Laura scream out. It kind of knocked me out of my survival bubble, and I realized, oh, yeah, there's others in this party. But then, where's the kid? And to go through that as a parent, just knowing, and I knew that if he was caught in the same wave we were, there was no way he'd survive that. Either drowning or the trauma, he was gone. And so frantically looking around, trying to find out where he is, getting slammed down into the water again and back to the surface. And then finally, we could see Willem out in front of the wave, running away from it. And we screamed to him, run, Willem, run! And as we were screaming at him, he slowed just slightly and looked back towards us, thinking, do I keep running or do I go back to Mom and Dad, who has always saved him? But fortunately, this kid figured Mom and Dad were no help in this situation, so he kept running. And fortunately, the wave was getting smaller and smaller as it dragged us inland. It dragged us 350 feet inland up the beach and of all of our gear. And as soon as we got into shallow enough water, I was able to get out, run up to Willem, picked him up, told him how proud I was of him for running away from that wave and being such a good boy and saving himself. And the first thing he did when I put him down, he held up that Ziploc baggie of goldfish. He said, Pop, that big wave was trying to take my goldfish, and I wasn't going to let it. Again, showing that a baggie of goldfish is a lifesaver to a kid.